is written in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of God.
Okay, folks, now I want you to open your Bibles. So now for the next couple of moments, we're going to learn together from Ephesians to share with our visitors. We've been going through Ephesians since January here, just going verse by verse, line the Bible to speak into our lives. We're in chapter 5 this morning, and we're in verse 8 to verse 14, which our brother John read to us. Let's pray. Lord, we now come to learn from the Bible. We know that to read the Bible is to listen to the very voice of God. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Where there is sin, that you would convict us. Where there is apathy, that you'd burn it out of our lives. Oh God, that we here this morning would be men and women living under the kingship of Jesus. We pray that you would speak clearly this morning, that we'd understand what the passage is saying, and by your grace, live it out to your honor and your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, the danger when you and I read the Bible is that if you just come straight away into chapter 5, you'll begin to read of a lot of demands that are placed upon us that we would almost think we could say to every person in the world, this is how God wants you to live. And we mustn't fall into that trap. We are not moralists. We are not just giving some good guidelines for living here. We must see chapter 5 in the context of the whole book. You see, chapter 5 is only possible because of what he's already told us. And the apostle has been at great pains to emphasize how you and I are converted. We are converted through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are saved because of our trust in him and his glorious work on the cross. But once that happens, friends, your life can never ever be the same again. You change. And so last Sunday morning, let me just remind you in verse 2, did you put a circle around that word live? The Bible says, live a life of love. That is what we were shown last Sunday morning. So, for those who claim to be Christians and to be walking with Jesus, when you see a Christian's life, that's what you will see. A lifestyle of love. As we have just sung in that great hymn, our lives are poured out for others. We live for others. We are other people-centered. It's a tremendous change that's happened to us. We live a life of love. But now this morning, look in your Bibles there at verse 8. Live as children of light. So this morning, I've entitled my sermon for you, living in light. Last week, living in love. Now living in light. And I'm sure you've been told many times over the last years how in the Bible, the figurative use of light always has two aspects. It has the intellectual aspect, and then it has the moral aspect. Intellectually, it represents the truth, whereas morally, it represents holiness. So what he's going to be saying to us this morning is, you've come out of darkness. You are no longer what you used to be. You've become a child of the light. Now live a life where intellectually you've understood the truth and you're growing in your understanding of the truth. But morally, live a life of godliness and holiness. 1 John put it like this. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's our theme this morning, friends. It's a very challenging theme. We are living in a dark world. And the word of God to us this morning is, now you go into that world and live as a child of the light. Is that all right? Okay? Now, we'll put it out here in the outline for you, and I want you to notice 5 things today. The first thing I want you to notice in verse 8 is the contrast. All right? Keep your eyes glued to verse 8. What does he remind us of here? He says, for you were once darkness. Isn't that fantastic? You were. Past tense. This is something that marked you in the past. But now, present tense, you are light in the world. So first of all there, he tells us what we were. So before you became a Christian, and many of you will be able to tell us when that happened, how it happened, of course we can remember that day. Can never forget it. It's the most glorious thing that's ever happened to us in our lives. Now what were you and I? We were once darkness. My dear friends, just remember that. A person who has never come to Jesus Christ is in darkness. They may be lovely people. They may be kind people. They may be religious people. They may be very gracious people. But if they've never yet come to Jesus Christ and been born again by his grace, they are darkness. And they're in the darkness. Remember what I told you? Intellectually, they do not know the truth. That's what it means. That is why every day of our lives, we're coming into contact with people who've got a very confused understanding of the Bible. A very confused understanding of God. Very confused understanding of a Christian. Why is that? Because they're in darkness. Because they're still in the darkness. Because the light hasn't shone in their lives. And so they will still continually come to us and say, it doesn't matter where you go, what religion you go to, what you believe, all roads lead to heaven, we're all going to get there. Now why do they say that? That's not the truth. But they believe that because they're in the darkness. Or folks may come to us and say, I don't believe in hell. Or I don't believe the Bible. You see, we understand why they say that. They say that because they are in the darkness. You see, my friends, intellectually, the person without Jesus is in darkness. That was where you were. That's where I was. Not only intellectually, but morally. It's a sad world we live in. It's a sad world. You know, on Friday I was saying at the earlier service, a very sad thing happened in Pietermaritzburg. About a kilometer from where I live, a young man of 19 was helping his father in the shop. I couldn't tell you how often I've been into that shop. I knew them well, well. I had the joy of leading the man who runs that shop to Jesus a number of years ago. 5 guys come into the shop and shoot the son stone dead in front of dad to take money and alcohol. But what a dark world this is. I read the other day of the man raping a 6-month-year-old baby. Why did he do that? Because they're in the darkness. You see, intellectually and morally, there's darkness. And so we are going to hear of rape and murder and crime. All of these things are not going to necessarily get better. But they are reminders to me that I live among a people who are in darkness. The Da Vinci Code will come. The Da Vinci Code will go. Something else will come. Somebody else will come up with some more theories. Why? Because they're in the darkness. They don't know the truth. And they don't follow the truth. You see what it says? Once you were darkness. That's what we were, friends. But secondly, notice what we are. Oh, I love reading the Bible and I so enjoy teaching it to you. Just go slowly and it just comes alive. Listen to it again. For you were once darkness. But now, see the change? See the transformation? You come out of darkness now into the light. So what we were darkness. What we are, we now in the light. This is a marvelous thing that's happened to us. We've come into the light. So intellectually, we've come to know the truth. We are growing in our understanding of the truth as it is contained in the Bible. Morally, we've come to know the truth. Once you were darkness, but now you are light. The Lord Jesus has come to you, my friend. He's come to me. So, so undeserving people. He's turned the light on. And he's drawn us to Jesus Christ. And we've become light when we were in darkness. What a great God we have. This Pilgrim Progress is the most amazing story. It's the story of the Christian life. There was burden on Christian's back. The burden of sin. He's living in the city of destruction. Mr. Evangelist tells him where to go. But Mr. Worldly Wisdom cannot understand it. Just like today. Hasn't changed one scrap. That's what's happened. It's the story of how Pilgrim became a child of the light. That's the contrast. Number two, what are the characteristics? Well, if I left you there, you'll be saying, hey, Warwick, he just speaks in all these general things, but he doesn't tell me what to do. Well, you can't say that now. See verse 9 and verse 10? Here is the evidence. Here is the fruit. See verse 9? For the fruit of the light. So you want to say to yourself, how do I know I'm in the light? Or somebody says to you at the office tomorrow, how do I know I've come out of darkness into light? And you say to them, the fruit of light consists in three things. Number one, it consists in goodness. In goodness. That's a very general term, isn't it? But it's the opposite of all malice. It's a spirit-created fruit leading to moral and spiritual excellence out of every description. Being good to others. I love that last hymn. In a sense, one falls so desperately short, but that's what I long to do. Always living for others. Always putting the others first. Because that's our servant king. You want to know somebody that's come out of darkness into light? Their life is marked with goodness. They're always showing good to others. Always wanting to say, what good can I do? What good book can I read? What good TV program can I watch? What good video? What good DVD? What good... It's only good. You see, friends, God raises you and I to a totally different plane of living. We live in the area of what is good. If it's not good, we don't want it. If it's not good, we don't want to get involved. Is it good? Where do you want your kids to go to? Is it good? What do you want them to watch? Is it good? You see, coming out of darkness into light? What do you mean? You live a life of goodness, the way you speak. Number two, righteousness. We do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. May not be right in the eyes of the world. They may think we're crazy. But you do what is right. What's right? What does Jesus want you to do? Doing what is straight and not deviating from it. A life of goodness and a life of righteousness. Why do you do it? Because it's right. But nobody's doing it. That doesn't matter. It's right. Right. Why do you do it? I'm a child of the light. And then thirdly, truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That word means integrity, reliability, honesty, trustworthiness. You know more than me, but on this. But you know, you don't see much of that today. There's not too much honesty today. There's not too much trustworthiness today. There's not too much integrity today. There's an enormous amount of dishonesty. There's an enormous amount of fraud. An enormous amount of ducking and diving. And suddenly as a Christian accountant, a Christian CEO, a Christian mom and a Christian dad, they say, is it right? Is it good? Is it showing integrity? That's what he says. Last Sunday, I live a life of love. Pour your life out for others, expecting no return. But today, live a life of the light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the way to live. Why is that? He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Because doing this is what the Lord Jesus is going to be pleased with. Alright? So we've seen the contrast. That's what you were. That's what you've become. We've seen the characteristics. Now number 3. The next verse 11. What is the command? The command is now, brothers and sisters, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That's a challenge. Isn't that a challenge? The Bible now says to us, have nothing to do. I want nothing to do with you, hear people say. I want nothing to do with him. I want nothing to do with him. I'm saying there is something that you must have nothing to do with. Have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Nothing. So when you go into the world tomorrow, dear brothers and sisters, when your kids go to school, when our kids go to the universities of today, the challenge is massive. The temptations are huge on every single front. Everything, there are no more absolutes. They've all gone in our world. When we send our kids to school and we send our children into the varsity, it's not easy. And we say to them, listen, my son, my daughter, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. We are not saying to them, cut all yourself off from the world. That's not what the Bible is saying. We've got to be in the world. We've got to be in the world. Nothing wrong. I may say that with danger of you cutting off my head. When a guy goes and has a game of squash, and you go into the pub and you have something, Coca-Cola, to drink with the other guy. Nothing wrong with that. You go into that situation, or you invite somebody to supper and you go into that situation, but they see you different. The moment you compromise, you lose your effectiveness. We mustn't lose our effectiveness. We cannot compromise. We cannot be a witness to the world if we do not go into the world. But when we go into the world, we must never compromise, because that will lessen our witness. Now why must we have nothing to do with the works of darkness? Because they're fruitless. Yo, that's a strong word. They're fruitless. Somebody may come to us and say, listen, I know it's a bit shady, but you can earn yourself 20 million rand. And you see, we're tempted. But then we say, is it right? Is it good? Will it please the Lord? No, it won't. Therefore, no, thank you. But you could get all this money. That doesn't matter. It's fruitless. There are far greater things in this world than money. There are far greater things in this world than success. There are far greater things in this world than getting to the top. Oh, what do you mean by that? It's far more important to be a loving husband. It's far more important to be a devoted mom. It's far more important to be walking with Jesus. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to know that one day I'm going to heaven. These are the big things. These are what matter. Be careful. The works of darkness, they are fruitless. They don't bring lasting joy. They don't bring lasting peace. They're fruitless. They don't prepare you for eternity. They don't. They're fruitless. The Bible says to me, that's what you were. You were in darkness. That's what you are. You become a child of the light. How must I live? Goodness, righteousness, truth. What's the command? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Number four, what's the commission? What's the commission, dear friends? In verse 11, rather, he says, expose them. Let's have a break. Can we have a break for a second? Tell you a funny thing. You're going to laugh now, but it doesn't matter. It's at my expense. You know what we love doing in our little home? I've got thousands of slides. One day when we went to Israel a couple of times, we took slides of everything. And only one or two occasions we've had the opportunity of visiting place, always take slides. And every now and again, I pull out the old, you know those old projectors where you zip it in and you go like this? You know, that antique shop offered me some money for my antique slide projector. I said, you know, you can get lost. I love it because it works. But you put a slide in and you flash it on. What happens? You take that powerful globe and you flash the slide onto the wall. I don't know, it doesn't do it in your house. You know what it did in my house? Oosh, showed us all the cobwebs. Yeah. And I thought, yeah. I thought, we cleaned this house. So we're showing our slides on the wall, and all I noticed was these dirty marks. Now you know what, friends, this is serious. I'd never seen them before. But now I can only see them because this powerful globe of my slides is shining them. And I said to Mary, I'm going to have to do something quick. So I started to paint. And I started in the lounge. So Paul and a wonderful friend of mine, a lovely African guy, his name is Alfred. I said, listen, Alfred, I'll book you for the next 2 months. Every Saturday we're going to paint. And I tell you, it looks magic now. You see, the light exposed the filth on my wall. You know the challenge to you, dear friend. God says to me, he says, now Warwick, I want you to go into the world and I want you to live as a Christian. And when you live as a Christian, what are you going to do? You are going to expose the rubbish around you. Just by living as a child of the light, you're going to be like that light of the slides. You don't just say anything just by living. You're a Christian. That's the commission. Go into the world, live for Christ, don't compromise, and live by the grace of God such a standard that when people look at you and watch you, don't you expose their darkness. Isn't that a challenge? Yo, that's a big challenge to me. And everything exposed to the light will become visible. That is an incredible thought. An incredible thought. What it's really saying there, where everything exposed to the light will become visible, it's actually saying it will lead to transformation. He went to be with the Lord 2 years ago, so I can tell you that story. But once I had a game of squash with somebody, I'm not very good, I battle along and try and trip the opposition when he's beating me, and we have lots of fun, but we had a good game of squash, and we were having something to drink afterwards. And we were talking. A man came up to me and said, don't you preach in the church? I said, yeah, I try to. He said, I can't believe that you're here with us. I said, man, I love being here. He says, where do you go to church? I told him. He says, I'm coming. He said, I want to tell you, I'm going to wait for you. If you don't come, you're in trouble. And you know what? He came. He'd never been to church for years and years and years. And he came to church. He used to work at Hewlett's Aluminium. And I had the joy of bringing him to Jesus. Give me a lump in my throat. It was wonderful. When I took that man's funeral, I could say to him, there was a man who was lost. But we went to where he was without compromise, and the darkness became visible. That's what God wants you to do. At last, the enemy are on our way. So what's the call? Oh, friends, there's a closing call. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know what, friends, as we've been going through this passage, maybe you have been saying to yourself, you know, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I've come out of darkness into the light. I'm not sure. This fantastic passage closes on an invitation. And the invitation is, come. Come. He calls those who are sleeping to come. Maybe this morning you say, that's what I want. I long to come and to know Jesus Christ in my life. To come out of the darkness and to come into the light. I want to say to you with love today, dear friend, come. And Christ will shine into your darkness and bring you light. I will be available after the service. If any of you want to pray with me, I'd love to do that. Short prayer, whereby you can come to know Christ. So the contrast, that's what you were, that's what you've become. The characteristics of the new life are goodness, righteousness, and truth. The command, go now and live as a child of the light. And live like that. The commission is, as you do it, you're going to expose where others are falling down. And if, like Jack, they realize I'm not there yet, you say to them, come. I'll pray with you. That you also may come into the light. So last Sunday, live in love. Today, live in the light. Next Sunday, walk in wisdom as we wrap it up. Father, we thank you for this passage. Forgive me where I perhaps haven't been clear enough. But I pray to each one of us now as we go, we may live as children of the light. Forgive us where we fail. Renew a right spirit within us this morning. And we commit one another to you as we go our various ways. In Jesus' name, amen.